Father God, Lord, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit. Lord, tonight, that God, Lord, we just, God, Lord, ask for just a pressing in into this new year, that God, Lord. Lord, that all that you have in store, God, Lord, that we grasp it, take hold of it, God. Lord, that we don't let this year go by, this next year go by, without fulfilling all that you have in store, all that you have planned for your people. Lord, that you give us the strength that we rely on you, that we hold on to you, and we stand in all the promises you've given us, God, Lord, all the word that you've placed within our hearts. God, Lord, that we stand firm, but we don't move to the left or the right. Lord, but we place our feet upon Christ Jesus, our rock. Be immovable, hallelujah. Unshakable. Not questioning, but standing in all that you have for us, God. We just thank you, God. We bless your holy name, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell somebody I'm going to have a happy new year. Come on, declare it. I'm going to have a happy new year. Bye-bye 2018. Hello 2019. Come on, amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Encourage everybody who can come tomorrow, just come, just have a good time. There's no, we don't have no schedule on what we're going to do. Just come after the Steeler game, so that's about 5:30. Come about 5:30, all right? Overtime. It starts at 4:25. Well, we're going to have to find out how to watch it here. We'll figure it out. I got a computer. We'll watch it on the screen. We'll get it going. So come, watch the game. But I just felt in my heart, I just felt kind of like all the things that we went through this year, some of the, you know, and there were some great things that we celebrated. There was awesome things, that word that we heard, and God stirring our hearts about things, pressing on, discipleship. Equipping and finding our place and strengthening marriages, and they've been attacked. Amen. But we're holding, standing on the promises. Amen. This is Family Worship Center. But we're going to reflect family worship. Amen. And we're going to be centered on Him. Amen. So no matter what comes against us, we shall prevail. Because why? Because He is our center. It's all on Him. Amen. But here's what I want us to focus on. What happens is sometimes when you go into the next year, sometimes we take a lot of the disappointments of last year into 2019 and then take those same ones into the year 2020. We have to learn to let it go. Whatever we failed at, it's over. Don't pick it back up. Whatever you've struggled with, whatever you've had a heart, it's over, man. Let it go. Let it go. Let it drop. Let it shake off you. Go into this new year running. Let your feet hit the ground with joy in your heart and praise in your lips. Lifting up His name. Setting your heart. Say, God, Lord, I'm coming into this year running, worshiping your name, blessing your name, who you are to me. And what you've done for me. Focus on what He's done and how He's blessed you. He's given us a place to worship, people that love you, pastor that can't live without you. I mean that, His wife. I mean the world to us. And I just want us just to press in. I feel that God's going to do some things this year that we got to be ready for, because He has things in store for us. And I believe that our discipleship's going to really take off. I really feel that. I felt that when we started this, that this would be the year coming up, would be a year that would really be taking my mantle and begin to pass it on to a generation. And as they begin to take it on, begin to take hold of it and watch it begin right in front of our eyes. Amen. Watch it take effect and come accomplish what God has planned. Amen. And you know what? A praise and worship leads us. It really does. And look how our praise team has expanded and grown and looks right before us. Come on, amen. We watch these young people grow up and come here and be part of it. And it's exciting. It's exciting. But every one of us, I want you to know, more than anything, I want you to know that every one of us have to find our part. We have to be part of it. We have to be part of what God's doing. You're vital. Tell your neighbor you're vital. Vital. See, I want to be able to function as a body that, you know what, I don't have to say, hey, there's an itch on my back. Can you scratch it? Is that stupid? No, it automatically does it. When it knows it's there, it just does it. Come on. It doesn't have to be told to do it. It just reacts. It does. Why? Because another part of the body needs touched or moved or helped. It just reacts. It's reactionary. It moves. That's what this body's going to move like. Come on. That we don't have to be told. We just know we see a need and we jump in and do it. Scratch it. Touch it. Feel it. Whatever it is. Amen? And fill that void. Let's be that part this year. Let's do all that God has. Amen. Thank you, praise team. I'm not going to lose my voice. I ate a bunch of cough drops, and then that makes my stomach upset. So, I just want to share something with you. I told them to go out early because I just wanted to place something in your hearts for this year to take hold of. And I want to open with this, is Genesis 12:2. Exodus. This is how he said he wants you to celebrate the new year. He says, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month shall they take of them every man, say, a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be to the little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next to them take according to the number of souls, every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish in a male of first year, and you shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it unto the 14th day in the same month assembling. And it says, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on both sides of the doorpost and the upper doorpost of the house, wherein you shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened and bitter herbs, and shall eat it. Listen, let me just make it simple. You need to start your year with a lamb. Come on. We need to start the year with a lamb, which is Jesus Christ. We can open up in John where it declares that John declared, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus was that lamb, which you know. He was that lamb. He was that sacrifice. And that blood was placed upon the doorpost of each side to signify a sacrifice that the sins have been covered. That's what we do with Christ, as we place the blood of Christ upon our doorpost. As we signify that He has saved me, that He set me free because of His sacrifice, because He was sacrificed Himself as the Lamb unto all, each man, each woman. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. He's taken the sin away of the world, but we have to receive it. We have to take hold of it. So I want us to walk with our hearts into this new year, eating the Lamb, amen, partaking about what He has done. The fulfillment of what He has done. This was prophetic. It was an example of what was to come. Amen? Every year they had to sacrifice the lamb. Every year they had to do the same thing. But Jesus came. One sacrifice was done. Amen? He was the sacrifice that fulfilled everything. It accomplished everything what couldn't happen before. But now we have to take hold of that, the promises of what He's done. We've got to remind ourselves what He has done for us as we enter into the new year and to each day. Amen? Beholding the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold. Yes, I want you to stop and think that so many times we behold so many different things. But if we begin our year and each day setting in our heart to behold Him, to behold Him. Not, I want you to get this, because what happens is things come our way before it's like a hot potato that comes on our lives, that it's thrown upon us and we have to behold it. We got to hold on to it. But we need to drop it. Drop it like it's hot. And we need to behold the Lamb of God. We need to keep our hearts on Him. Amen? All right. So as we look there, that word was declared over Jesus by John prophetically. And it was before Jesus went into the what? Into the wilderness. Now I want you to see this and understand that no matter what we go through, no matter where, I'm not saying that we're going into a wilderness. I'm saying that this is how you go out of it. This is how you don't hold on to things as we go into a new year. Come on, amen? This is how we go into it. This is how we enter into our new year. Behold the Lamb of God. Amen? And I got to get a new Bible this year. This thing's falling apart. But it's hard to break away from it. You get used to it. Amen? Luke 3:22, and it says, "And the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him. And the voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. In you I am well pleased." Now I want you to know, and these are things that we have to keep in our hearts to understand, that we need to enter in for success in our lives, to enter in, to overcome things in our lives. We have to enter in with that in our hearts, with that understanding that I am a child of God. This is how Jesus began His journey. Come on, began His ministry with this understanding that I, what does it declare? That Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now I want us to get a grip of something and understand something. To this point, Jesus did not do any miracles. He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything specific in a sense. He was just His Son. So I want us to recognize it's not about what we do. It's about who we be. See, when we begin to walk out who we are, we'll act like it. If we know who we are and know where we came from, then we will act like who we are and who's we are. We're His. We're walking out authority. See, we'll walk with our understanding that whenever things face our way, that no matter what goes, because you know, I want you to know that each one of us go through circumstances and situations. So I want you to know that sometimes we declare things, and I want you to be have the understanding that we do go through things in our lives. We do go through wilderness times in our lives, but we go through them. See, that we are strong with the understanding, but He entered into those wilderness. He showed us how to enter into it with that understanding in His mind that I am His Son. I am a child of God. See, He had His head lifted up, because the next verse it declares down here, it says when He entered in, it says in Jesus being full, say full. I want you to know how God wants you to enter into your year with the understanding you're full. You got everything you need to overcome. Why? Because you're a child of God. Everything that He has, you have. All He has is you have. You are full. You have everything you need to get through any moment you're going through. It's not the moment comes and then all of a sudden we got to get ready. Well, I need to go to these six classes. I want you to know you have it within you, that we believe it and know it and we trust in it and we walk in it. We walk in the Spirit. And we recognize it and we become aware of it. We get that. Sometimes we put so much upon, you know, that if I have to do these certain things or if I line up with this, there's so much we put on ourselves. It's not like there's something we shouldn't do. Oh, you don't have to go. You know, we need to go to church. You're walking in the Spirit. You need a fellowship. You need a oneness. You need to get direction. But I want you to know that what we have within us, because He is in us. He is in us. Just as much as He was born King, He was born Savior. That is in you. The King is within us. Come on, amen? We have authority within us. So Jesus going into the wilderness was full. We got to recognize, well, you know what, I don't feel. It's not about what I feel. It's who I know. It's what He's done for me. Remember, I want you to recognize this. Don't behold your pain. Behold the Lamb. Come on, I want you to get that. Well, you know, we focus on this. Stop beholding those things and behold the Lamb of God, who's given you the ability to say, I'm full. I'm blessed and highly favored. We say it every single week because we need to declare and understand. And somebody blessed us with a picture, an awesome picture, Tammy. And it says, blessed and highly favored. It's a big picture. And we're going to place it as you get on the steps. It's going to be right on the wall when you walk out those doors. That you're going to have to look at it and say it again. If you didn't say it when you were in here, you're going to say it when you walk out. Because I want you to know that, listen, we have to walk out of this to whatever we're walking into out there. We didn't know that I'm blessed and highly favored. Why? Because of what He's done for me. He has made me a child of God. I behold the Lamb of God. Amen? Don't make me yell. So he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and being 40 days tempted by the devil. In those days he did eat nothing. And when we're ended, he hungered. He hungered just like us. I want you to know, don't be disappointed to know that sometimes you will go in places and times where you'll be hungry. You're wondering what you're going through, why you're going in the midst of that. But I want you to know that every time, right before breakthrough, my greatest victories ever, I've always felt in times before that I went through my strongest tribulation. Come on, mothers, face it. You go through the strongest... Man, when you're giving birth, man, you feel most cases. I'm saying most cases. The women say it's the most painful thing that they've ever went through. But in that same time, it's the most blessed time. At the end of that trial, at the end of that moment, it's your greatest moment. And you forget about all the pain. Come on. All of a sudden, it's gone. I want you to know that Jesus was even in that sense where that he was hungry. It says that he was going through that place where that he was hungry, showing a sense of that he was a man. He faced it just like every one of us. He had flesh, but he wasn't overcome, giving us the hope and know that we can walk in the Spirit, in the fullness of all that he is and what he's overcome, beholding the Lamb of God. It says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone to be made into bread. And Jesus answered, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Say every word? Every word of God. We need to behold what he says, what he's declaring. Now, there's a declaration here that I want us to hold on to something with an understanding. Look up Matthew 22:37-39. And this needs to be the basis of everything that I believe, the words that I hold on to. This is what I need to stand on. This right here. How do I know if it's the Word of God? Well, we read it, but sometimes people read the Word of God and they misinterpret it. But I want to give you something to base all the Word of God on is right here. Amen? Is this. Is these two things. Matthew 22:37-39. Everything that I believe must be interpreted in the light of these two commandments. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first of the great commandments. And the second is like unto it. It shall love thy neighbor as thyself. These are the two things. Amen? To love God with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my neighbor as myself. This is what we base it. If what I believe does not make me love God, listen, I want you to hear this. If it does not make me love God and people more, it's not true. If what I'm hearing does not cause me to love God and people more, then it's not worth listening to. That's how you know it's true. If it causes me to love God and people more, that's how I know it's the truth. This is how we discern it. If what you believe makes you afraid of God, or critical of and fault finding with others, it is not true. Now you understand that I mean a fearful sense of that you're afraid, but not of honor, not a fear of honor or respect unto God, but a fear that I'm afraid of God. I'm afraid to come unto Him. Or if it makes me critical, causes me to be critical of one another, it's not true. So Jesus declared this, that here's this bread that he says, turn this rock into bread. He challenges them to do that. So I want you to get the picture here that everything, every one of these things was based upon something without going through process. And I want just to hear this tonight and know that process is a good thing. We do go through things. You can't just... We go through wildernesses. We go through growing seasons. We go through sowing seasons. We go through different things of our lives. We have to go through those things. As much as we don't want to, we can't jump over. Read directions. I do that. Sometimes I find out after the fact that... I remember one time I was putting together my daughter's playhouse. I spent 3 hours putting this together. And I realized there was 3 instructions. And not until I got 2 hours into it that I realized I didn't have the right instruction. There was 3 different instructions because they're different kits, but they put all of them in one box. Are you kidding me? So I put the whole thing together, and here I put it together wrong. I had to tear the whole thing. I couldn't skip it. I stood there for probably an hour thinking, how can I get away without doing it the way it says? Come on, is that not us? How can I get through this without having to go through all that other stuff? That's what we think sometimes. But it takes a process. It takes that time. Come on, sometimes we expect ourselves to be a certain place, but we need to go through the process to get there. So that it looks like what it's meant to look like. It's not a cheap imitation, but it's the truth. So anything that challenges us, that doesn't line up with that, I can't follow after it. So Jesus declares, so here's this process. He says, turn this stone into bread. I want you to know He was trying to produce something without process. It takes work to have bread. It's not about your work, but it's about process. It's not just seeing it happen. I want you to know that we have to make a process. Sometimes in the midst of it, that you have to declare to your flesh to lift up your hands when you're going through things. When you don't feel like coming to church. When you don't feel like reading the Word of God. You need to press through that thing. Come on, amen. You need to get through that thing. We need to go through those situations. We need to declare. We need to praise. And you have to produce food in your life. Sometimes you got to just go do it. There's sometimes when I wake up in the morning and I don't always feel like it because my body doesn't feel like it. To get into the Word of God. To spend the time to pray. To set my life. To behold the Lamb of God for my day. Sometimes you don't always feel like it. Sometimes, especially when you turn 50. Every time I say that, I stop and think, wait, no, you're 40. No, you're 50. And my body won't keep reminding me. But I'm blessed and highly favored. But I'm here to say that sometimes that I need that even more. I want you to know that now I need it more than I ever did before. I need that Word. I need to behold the Lamb of God. I need to pray. I need to find time to behold the Lamb of God before I enter into my day. I need to go through the process that I can reap a harvest. That I can reap what He has for me. I need to reap and take hold of what He has for me. So when I enter into that day that I'm beholding His Word, that I'm only holding on to His Word, what He has to say, not what the enemy says, not what those other things. I don't want to behold those. I want to behold His Word. And His Word alone do I want to stand on, to hold on to. Amen? So the first one speaks of self-provision, trying to provide for yourself. Do you know, that's the biggest thing. He gets most of us on that first temptation, trying to provide for yourself, because you feel the nature to try to do it on your own. I don't need this. I don't need fellowship. Or I don't need to have to read the Word every day. Or I don't have to do this. Or come on, help me. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you say to yourself, well, I don't need someone else. I don't need someone this. I don't need that. Or whatever that. I'll do it on my own. I'll provide for myself. We can't do it. I'll show you so many people that have tried to provide for themselves and not relied on the body or one another. And they found themselves isolated and alone in a wilderness and they can't get out of it. Amen? So we can't have, we got to get away from self-provision. Meet your need. He's trying to get him, and he says, and the next one was in verse 9, he says, and the devil taking him up into the high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all the power will I give to you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be yours. And Jesus said unto him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with him only, and thou shalt serve him. We need to worship God alone. Listen, that second one speaks of self-preservation. Self-preservation. That's an attitude. I have to do something. If God asks you to do, he will provide. But sometimes what we do is we try to do it on our own. We try to make it happen with our own strength, with our own ability. We try to preserve ourselves to prove that God is with you, or this to see, in a sense of there, I want you to know you're saying you're trying to prove that God was with him. Sometimes that's where we become religious, where people try to, you know what I'm talking about, where that's where people feel like if they wear certain clothes or if they do a certain performance that others, it's about what other people think they are instead of what he thinks you are, what he knows that we are. And it's self-preservation. It's worried about what others think. Sometimes we don't get back up again because we're worried about what others think. Jesus says, this is how many times you get back up. 70 times 7. You keep getting back up again. But sometimes we try to do self-preservation to show others how we are. We got it all together. We're good. And you know that things aren't always good. You know that they're struggling. But we have that sense of trying to preserve, to make everybody think. Instead of just willing, you know what, I'm weak. I need God. I need you. I need one another. I need him in my life to strengthen me. Amen? And it says he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down. For it is written, he shall give angels charge over thee and keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou shalt dash thy foot on a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord my God. And he's dealing with self-promotion. Listen, a self-promotion. I want you to know that our worth, every one of us, there's something that we want to feel like we're worth something. To somebody, somewhere, somehow, we try to find our ways to prove that to somebody. It's within our nature to show our worth because we're valuable. So we got to prove it. That's why we deal right now with an epidemic of drugs. Because sometimes the people just, they feel like they can't reach that goal of feeling any worth. That it was so high to them that they're not able to do that. So they try to overcoming that feeling with drugs, which people do with alcohol. Or they try to prove and go through pain, painful relationships because they try to prove or to promote that I need you to love me instead of realizing what their worth is. I want you to know we find our worth in him. It only comes from God. It does not come. It doesn't come from position. It doesn't come from a position of title, but it comes of who we know in God, of who we're beholding, the Lamb of God. See, that's where we get caught up. That's where people get caught up with religion, where that they feel like they got to be entitled or in front of somebody else. That if I'm up here, that you'll love me more. Instead of realizing our worth isn't from him, it comes from him. That sense of worth, of value, comes from God. He took him to the highest place based on where you are. It's based upon where you are, not on who you are. It's based upon who you are in him, not where you are. Come on, do you get that? See, that's where sometimes we feel disappointed because maybe we're not where we think we should be. But where we are with Him matters. Where's my heart with God? Where am I at with God? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Where am I at? Because that's all that matters. Because when it's said and gone that, man, if I pass on tomorrow, I know I'll be missed. But what really matters is where I am with Him. Where I am with God. Where my heart is. It's about beholding Him. Finding my place and worth in Jesus. Not based upon anything else. Not my finances or how many of this I have or how many of that. It's where I am in Him. Amen? Sometimes we're always looking for promotion and not process. We don't like the process. But promotion, there's process. For every promotion, there's process. And I know in my heart, the places that I have come to, it's only because of process. Because I know many of times I would not be here right now if I would have ran through the problem, outside of that process. If I didn't receive that process, I would have never been in the place I am today to receive that. So we need to continue to press through the process. And promotion follows. Amen? I'm sorry, I'm struggling with my voice. We try to find fame without accomplishment. Want to be famous. We see that all the time, don't we? Those shows, it's kind of like the lottery. Want to get rich quick? Boom, just like that. We want to become famous like this. Instant gratification instead of process. Did you ever watch those shows, just to say, because again, did you ever watch those lottery shows where the people that won the lottery, they go through a lot of the people that have won it, and it's amazing to see they made a show about it, about how much that havoc that brought, that instant success. Money brought havoc in their life. Brought people out of the woodwork that never loved them before, but all of a sudden they love them now. They had their number. How did you get my number? Oh, they'll find it. You couldn't get it before when I was in the wilderness, but you got it now that I'm on top of a pinnacle. But they'll come from everywhere. But it's amazing to see how that every one of those things, because I want you to know that I have a friend that man, we were close. And he became a multimillionaire overnight. Overnight. And it wasn't within a week. Completely changed. That which was within him came out of him. Sometimes that'll bring us out. Sometimes those things will come. So sometimes we got to be careful what we wish for. I want you to know that, man... I know I'm not saying that I want to have enough or more than enough, don't y'all? But I want you to know that, listen, I want you to know that me, sometimes I rely on God so much more when I don't have enough. I'm not promoting not having enough, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, sometimes what seems like a curse might be a blessing. Because it's in those times where I had the least that I sought God with everything to find a way, a direction in those most crisis moments and the hurtful moments. And I found God, and I realized that's all I ever wanted, was just Him. Found more fulfillment in that and forgot what I was even looking for. That's why it says, seek Him first. Seek Him first, not those other things. And we'll find out that what we really wanted was Him. Amen? Let me finish. And it says, and then Jesus, there was tempted, the temptation, and He departed from him for a season, and Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit, power of the Spirit in Galilee, and fame came forth. All those things that the enemy tempted him with came forth. The enemy didn't give it to him, but they came through as he stood his ground. the power, the fame. He wasn't looking for it, but it came because he sought God first, sought the Father first. And he came to Nazareth, and it says that, and this is what he did. This is what he had the confidence to do. It brings power. And we go through these things, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recover the sight of the blind, and to set liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Wow. Say amen. And it says, and he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of them that were there in the synagogue, they fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And all that bear witness wondered with gracious words, and proceeded out of their mouths. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Is this not Joseph's son? Now, this is what I want to leave you with, is what I began with, is of who we are. See, everybody else was telling him who they thought he was. People are going to tell you who they think you are, or who you should be. Doesn't matter about what they say, who you are. It's what he says I am. See, it might seem like it's coming from the right places. He's in church, and these people are telling him, he says, aren't you Joseph's son? In the natural, they're focusing on his natural ability, on who he was in the natural. But Jesus knew who he was in the spirit. He knew who his Father was. Come on. He knew who his Heavenly Father was. He knew his name. He knew who he was. And sometimes we get so caught up in what others say or what the enemy says, we need to behold the Lamb of God. Makes sense? Am I making sense? Stand on your feet. Jesus ultimately made everybody there angry. And this is the place where that, I don't know if you continue to read down farther, you find out that this is the place where they were so mad with what he was saying about being a son of God. It's hard for sometimes people to agree with that, what God has made you and how it made you a son. We say, yeah, we do, but no, I want you to know, sometimes we really do inside. Because it changes the way we act. It changes everything. But it made them so mad that they were willing to kill him. And they chased him. And it says they brought him to the edge of the cliff. And they were going to throw him off. But here's what he did. He went through them. And they weren't even aware. His Father brought him through it. I want you to know that we go through things and struggles, but it's letting God bring you through it. That we experience and know Him and realize I'm His. And that I can say with all my heart that I am what? Amen. With that, deep within us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each person here. I pray a blessing upon them right now, God. I pray your blessing upon them, God. Lord, all that you have in store for them, God. Lord, I just pray to God, Lord, that they come into a deeper intimacy and relationship with you this year, each one of us, God, like we never have before. Pray to God, Lord, that we just run unto you, God, Lord, that you, as we run unto you, you will draw us. You will pull us. That our heart will beat after you, God. We'll become stronger and mightier in your name this year. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings. We thank you for all that you've done. We honor your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, come on downstairs. We have tons of food. Thank you. Randy and Melissa, come and just be blessed. Don't forget tomorrow night.